Next on BYUSN, football finally here. Cougar football players report to camp today. We'll discuss what's giving us the most confidence in BYU as they head into training camp. With players reporting, we'll also get an inside look into the official report day with BYU Director of Equipment for Football, Josh Hewitt.
Also, the Dominator is going to be with us, Brandon Doman, to discuss the start of fall camp, what it's like to be in a quarterback battle, and what it's like to coach through a quarterback battle. He did both. And speaking of quarterback competitions, Top 5 Tuesday features the top five quarterback battles in the modern era of BYU football. What a show today.
Indeed. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, July 30th. It's Jimmer Day, Dave. We'll get to that in a moment.
It looks like you're ready to
go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to root on Jimmer. 2:30 Mountain Time, 4:30 Eastern in 3x3 in his debut against Serbia. Of course, I'm Spencer Linton. He is the always astute and wonderful Dave McCann, a guy who is prepping for every show with a nice long nap, right, Dave?
I like a good nap. They're so fleeting. You know what I'd love? I'd love to kind of have the nap that this guy's having. Steven, one of the great American gymnasts.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Steven Nedorasik.
Look at this. Look at his expression here. You know what I call this? I call this the colonoscopy. Steven hasn't had his wife come over and wake him up yet to tell him that it's over. Look how calm and deep sleep. Anyone who's been through one knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's somewhere else. And isn't that it? That's just, man.
Just wake him up when he needs to get on the pommel horse and crush it, do his thing, and then he can go right back to
his rest. Go get a medal. The guys don't medal in gymnastics, right? Well, they do now, and his group got that done. And, man, what a peaceful look.
Yes. The Washington Post said of him, Steven Nedorasik is America's quirky, glasses-wearing pommel horse hero.
Yeah. Don't wake him up. He's living the dream.
Just let him take his nap. And then when he needs to go to work, he'll go to work. Outstanding stuff.
No sleeping now for BYU. I just came from the equipment room. Chase Roberts was down there eating a bowl of cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the season's back.
They're in. The season's back.
He's ready to go. He's eating a bowl of cereal standing on the scale. I'm like, it's a little late. It's a little late for that.
Got to bulk up.
He's bulking out. Even this morning.
Oh, we need to bulk up. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Experience last year will help them be better this year.
Feels like the majority of the core is back.
And everybody has matured.
TJ Woods is kind of the star of the show. There's just too much talent to not do well.
An unofficial welcome to the beginning of BYU football training camp. Players, as we have mentioned, are reporting today. They're going to get their equipment. We'll see if Dave on an inside look into what that looks like, at least a little bit, in just a few minutes. But as we approach this season, Dave, it definitely feels like, depending on who you speak with, BYU fan, coach, staff, administrator, whoever, everyone's got a different take, and it's a glass half full, glass half empty approach. Like, I can feel, depending on who I'm talking to, I can feel terrible about the approaching season. And then if I talk to a different person, I can feel like BYU's going to win 7 games for sure. It's wild how different the opinions are out there. Kalani Sitake was asked about this at Big 12 Media Days, about assessing where BYU football is going into the season. This is what he had to say.
I think when the media votes, they don't know what we know. And so I think, and I said it'd be pointless for me to get angry at them when they don't know what I know.
Well, the media voted BYU 13th, and a lot of publications have BYU worse than that in the Big 12. So, Kalani knows what he knows. We know what we know, Dave. What gives you the most confidence in something you know about BYU football as the Cougars head into training camp?
I guess we'd start with that Kalani knows. So there's confidence in Kalani that he knows, and some hope and all that stuff that goes into those feelings. And all summer we've talked about, well, we're concerned about this, we're concerned about that, even yesterday and through last week. So now we're going to say, hey, well, what do we feel good about? You start with a receiving core, probably as deep as it's ever been. And BYU's had a lot of receiving cores. Guys back from last year who were first-year guys, thinking of Kingston and Lassiter and Marion, those were first-year guys in the program. Cody Epps, who was with us yesterday on BYU Sports Nation, is healthy, where he got banged up during camp. Keanu Hill's healthy. He's playing in a different spot, but he's still going to catch the ball. And Chase Roberts. So I'm confident that this group can catch the football and move it down the field. as good as any group BYU's had. And I think Darius Lassiter is the breakout guy. You just get that physically and his tenaciousness. And he has told us, you know, his understanding of the offense and the playbook, whereas last year is kind of like, I think I'm going down and out.
Yeah.
And he looked over at Keelan. Keelan, where are you going? He goes, I think I'm going this way. But they just weren't sure because they were just barely in it. And now they know the playbook like the back of their hand. And when there's an audible, it's not, oh, my gosh, what was that? Where do I go? L.J. Martin's even told us, he leans over to Keaton. Keaton, what do I do? That's what newcomers do when they're pressed to play right away. Well, this group, they're not newcomers this year. And they have got my confidence.
You just listed five or six guys that are proven commodities that, again, are in at least year two, if not year three, of their BYU football careers. I would add to that list a guy like JoJo Phillips, who has major upside. And, I mean, we're talking about real depth, right? So of everybody you listed, like, then you can add JoJo Phillips to that. And Dom McKenzie, Cody Hagan is a guy that was highly recruited out of high school, Corner Canyon
product. And they're going to be big. Do they need to be big right now? I don't know, but you're right.
Yes.
That room is full.
This is, and Prince Zombo was the guy that Cody Epps mentioned yesterday. Said, you don't know much about him now, but while he is young, he will surprise some
folks. How much fun we'll have with Prince Zombo as he develops into a superstar. Just the name alone sends us in a wide net of imagination.
Yes, this is a clear reason to feel good about BYU football. Some confidence there, beginning with the deepest position group, we believe, the wide receivers. I would add, and this is, if you haven't been paying attention this summer, and you're now watching because football is back, welcome, first and foremost. Yeah. It's great to have
you
back. But I have been long plugging that BYU football has a chance to do what BYU men's basketball did. This is the basketball principle in that, man, it was tough last year. There were some real growing pains. It did not go well, and expectations are super low. But the core of returners is back. So BYU basketball was picked to finish 13th out of 14 teams. Football was picked to finish 13th out of 16 teams. But football, like basketball, has this significant returning core. Our good friend Jerem Jordan would say, well, there's no guarantee those players are going to get better. But logic would suggest that there is progression. And Cody Epps told us yesterday, we feel like everybody is a year older, wiser, more mature, more dedicated, more invested, all of the good things. So I am buying stock in that returning core. That gives me some confidence that guys who have gone through difficult things and have opted to stay together instead of just jumping ship and bailing like so many college athletes do now, they decided to do the harder thing and stay. And that gives me confidence, Dave, that because they have gone through these tough trials together, it will make them better.
If I'm hearing you correctly, and I believe that I am, this analogy with the basketball program that came out and just started shooting threes from all over the floor, does that mean that the deep ball is coming back to the offense? BYU's going to drop back.
They're going to throw 35 passes a game. They're going to throw at least 35 passes a game.
And then they've got to be, you know, they got to be long passes, right? Because threes aren't short shots. But I love that concept because if that's what it takes, then do it. And basketball knew that, hey, what's going to play to our strength? Well, we've got good shooters. Then shoot it. And if BYU's got a receiving core that can get down the field and a quarterback that can throw it, chuck it. And we'll have a good time.
Let those guys try and make some plays.
What if we had 10 deep balls again? We'd be out of our minds. Because you don't catch all of them, but you catch some of them.
BYU, the thing that basketball did is with that returning core, they opted for a unique approach. And they did something exceptional. Greg Wrubell told us about this or this week, brought it up anyway, said they knew they were good three-point shooters, and so they just went heavily into that. Okay, this is what we do well.
I want 35 a game.
To compete in the Big 12, we're going to have to do this one thing exceptionally and kind of see what happens. I don't know what the exceptional thing that BYU football is choosing to do yet, but I know that they are trying to find a unique approach. Maybe it is throwing it way more. I don't believe that Aaron Roderick is – he hasn't shown me in years previous that he is – he wants to throw the ball 40 or 50 times, so I don't think that would begin all of a sudden now. But I do believe that he'll try some unique things.
You have to. You have to try
do something
a whole
different,
bunch of things you didn't do last year.
For sure. And maybe Gary Bohannon and his skill set is the guy that will allow him to open up the playbook some more. But I'm confident in that returning core principle and in BYU's willingness to try something new with that core.
So in the first play of the game against Southern Illinois, we're going deep, right? So how many guys are you going to send down there, and who is it going to be? Is it going to be Marion? Is it going to be Lassiter? Is it going to be Roberts? Even Epps talked about getting downfield with us yesterday. And Kingston's one of the fastest guys on the team.
If they're sending somebody deep, it's Keelan Marion and Darius Lassiter,
One this way, and Keanu Hill deep over the middle.
For sure.
Somebody's going to be open, and then chuck it.
Okay, so those two things give us confidence, the wide receiver depth, the returning core principle. What else gives you confidence that BYU can exceed expectations?
It's all interlinked because so much of it starts with the offensive line, and that starts with the new offensive line coach, TJ Woods. And you got Kevin Gilbride, the tight ends coach. Woods also the running game coordinator, which we haven't had. So you got those two guys with a lot of experience and a lot of success doing what they do to come in to infuse that area of the game, the offensive line, and tight end production, which has been down the last couple of years, largely because Isaac Rex just wasn't healthy, but he was still BYU's best tight end. So these two guys, I'm confident that they are difference makers with the talent they inherited, and I'm really excited to see it. But it makes me feel good knowing that those changes were made. And I loved the guys they replaced. They were nice guys. Good guys, good coaches, but they needed an infusion of something different, and these guys bring that.
Certainly. I mean, we're talking about Kevin Gilbride, who was in the NFL coaching from 2010 to 2022. So he brings a dozen years of experience at the NFL level to BYU, and it doesn't take long when you're speaking with Keanu Hill and Reiner Swanson right. And some of the other tight ends to figure out the dude kind of sees and understands the game at a different level. It's just a different approach, and sometimes different is good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want peanut butter M&Ms and peanut M&Ms when you've only had the thin chocolate M&Ms for a long time.
Okay.
You want to mix it up.
All right. That's a stretch, but okay. I'm still with you.
You want a different flavor of something, right?
Yeah.
And
especially if the first thing didn't work. It didn't taste good. Give me something else.
It's not great. You know, I need something else. So
that same impact what those guys can do up front. There's another area where you're confident on the other side of the ball.
Absolutely, and that is the defensive coordinator, Jay Hill.
Yeah.
It's year two. Now that he's had a full year to work with this, largely the same guys, again, that core principle, a lot of the same guys on defense are coming back. Not a lot of people jumped ship. They're back. They're still with Jay Hill. I expect him to now, because he's further implemented what he wants to do, and there's way better understanding, the defense should also get at least a little bit better. Dave, frankly, if the offense could get a little bit better and defense could get a little bit better and special teams a little bit better, you would think that those things would combine for BYU now to be a bowl team. If they're 5-7 last year and opportunistic and found a way to get to 5 wins, they were 5-2 and then watched a bunch of potential wins slip out of their fingers.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for wholesale change here. I'm asking for BYU to be a little bit better in all three phases of the game. And I think that the returning core, Jay Hill, some additions of the coaches, and some playmakers at the wide receiver position should be able to get BYU there. I have people ask me all the time, give me some hope, Spencer. Give me some hope. This is the hope right here. This is, we're laying it out.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, after a 5-7 season and the negative stuff that comes from not going to a bowl game. But then when we break it down and we go, well, let's see, I think of three plays, and that's the difference between 7-5, potentially 8-5 in the first year as a P5, or now P4, and first year in the Big 12. We have a parade around town. But those plays weren't made, and this is what we got. But the difference is what? Like this. And that's a crazy thing about sports. The shot either goes in or it doesn't. But it was so close. Some go in for some. Some years BYU's had hit all the shots. You know, back to that basketball analogy. And so some tweaks in the right spots could be all the difference in the world.
Parity reigns supreme in Power 4 football. Like the margin of error is so razor thin. This is not the Mountain West Conference. This is not Independence. There's not a great variance between the talent levels of the opponents you face in conference.
Yeah.
So you have to make those plays that you're referencing. And I believe that there should be a few more plays made that will help BYU get to that 6-win total or more.
And that sells hope.
That is.
That sells tickets. That gets us to watch it on TV because that's what people love. Give me some hope.
Hope is all we have.
Right?
Our question of the day is this. What gives you the most confidence about BYU football as the Cougars head into training camp? At BYU Foam Finger on X says, lots of returning experience with less reliance on the transfer portal and quarterback depth with FBS experience.
That's true.
BYU does have that now.
Yeah.
I know Retzlaff only started four games, but Gary Bohannon brings a wealth of experience. Trayson Borgay has started games at the FBS level, and McKay Hillstead, frankly, at Utah State has started some games. All those guys have started meaningful games.
Yeah.
So that matters.
That does matter.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
You know what else matters? After further review, season premiere later today, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, myself, will roll out the touchdown show, all the touchdowns from last season. That's how we welcome everybody back as the team reports today. 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app after further review.
Just make sure Blaine's caffeinated after all that jet lag coming back from Spain.
Trust me,
okay?
He was on our show last night. He's speaking in tongues.
Up next, the Dominator, Brandon Doman, joins us to share his expertise in quarterback battles, both as a player and as handling it while he was a coach. This is BYU Sports Nation.
I think he's got a good amount of talent in the room right now. Guys get better with experience. Jake's got some of that. Gary's got a bunch of that. I think there's a lot of reason to feel optimistic that one of those guys steps up.
We are stepping up live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Dave McCann. It's time we welcome in the Dominator, former BYU quarterback standout, guy who saw some time in the NFL as well. Brandon Doman is back on BYUSN. Brandon, how are you this morning?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Brandon, do you ever remind your kids that you were called the Dominator during your athletic prime?
About every 2 weeks.
It should probably happen more often than that. I'm glad it at least comes up occasionally. You know what? I want to start this conversation with something that happened at the gala on Saturday night. 100 seasons of BYU football. Very special night. One of the highlights was clearly having you on stage sitting next to Patty Edwards and Patty talking about Lavelle's last miracle and saying, well, BYU won the game. And she looked right at you, Brandon, and said, thanks to you, we won the game. What was that moment like for you?
Well, wasn't she awesome? I was so impressed with her and just the clarity and the way she communicated, the selflessness. It was never about her ever, and it was never about Lavelle. She always, graciously and humbly pointed the finger back at all of the support and players and coaches. It was just really neat to be able to be with her. But we know that it was because of Luke, honestly. Let's be honest. It was because of Luke Daly. And he was there, which was great to have him there.
Yeah, classic. Well, the new guys are reporting today. Do you remember the thrill of showing up in the equipment room and getting your stuff on the first day of camp?
New Nike cleats, new Nike shoes, shorts, sweatshirts, the whole thing. It was just – and then being there with your teammates and – back at it again after an off season. I don't remember many better days than coming to the first day of camp, either as a player or as a coach. That's a remarkable time.
Do you remember seeing the bib jerseys for the first time, Brandon? What was your real reaction to that?
We wondered how much Coach Edwards was getting paid for that. There was a sweet deal for him going on. And so if that was what was needed, so be it.
Now, you have a unique perspective on a quarterback battle because you lived it as a player in camp several times, and then you coached it specifically with Jake Heaps and Riley Nelson, and now BYU is here with four guys, as Kalani Sitake has pointed out, that could potentially play. Two have been dubbed as the most likely, and for good reason, Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. So if you were to relive this as a player or a coach and having gone through everything you've gone through, what advice would you give to Kalani and Aaron Roderick and Fessy Sitake on the offensive side of the ball as they try and maneuver through this most recent quarterback battle?
Yeah. Well, I would say first thing, I'd be surprised if they already don't know who the quarterback is. In most cases, the coaches coming into fall camp already have a pretty good idea, even though they're going to create a battle and create this opportunity for these two guys to compete. I think the team, through the summer, through spring practice, have already probably chosen the guy that they trust and want to be their guy. I think there's probably going to be one of them that will rise as the leader in the first couple of days. And my advice to them would be, don't take long. This team needs to rally around somebody. With the transfer portal and not having continuity, with these guys that are coming in mid-year, please choose a guy sooner than later and start allowing the team to rally around a guy.
Sometimes coaches don't get it right initially, and it takes a little while. And your experience, you had to wait forever to get the chance, and then you went 14-2 as the starter. And it was like, well, why wasn't he in earlier? What is it about deciding on the signal caller at BYU that seems to take so much in to what might be just a simple call?
Well, practice is so hard. It's so hard to demonstrate as a player what you're really capable of doing. Some guys just get in the stadium with the fans, lights, opponents, the competition of just the competitive reality of what the game represents, and they play better. Some quarterbacks are better game day players than they are practice players. So every practice needs to simulate game-like moments, game-like feelings. They need to create as many competitive series and ball movement experiences, red zone experiences, third down moments, and reward the quarterbacks that are successful in those times. And the problem is they've got green jerseys on in practice, and so you don't know if they're going to scramble out of a potential sack and make a big play. Those things are made manifest during the games. And so it is really challenging to really know which guy is going to ultimately be the guy that's going to help you win. And game day is going to be the only place to really find that out.
Well, that brings up my next question. And you had a unique scenario in 2010 where you were dealing with Jake Heaps and Riley Nelson. And I mean, it was neck and neck. So it kind of feels like that is how the case is with Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. So besides what you have talked about and putting them in game scenarios, what else can you do to add some urgency or to expedite this process of picking a guy early so that the team can rally around them?
Yeah. Like I said, I think that, you know, it's interesting. It doesn't matter whether you're in the sixth grade or high school or in the NFL, the players are going to rally to the guy that they trust the most, that they believe has the most competitive greatness and the greatest will. And that, like I said, that can be made manifest through spring practice and through the summer. And, you know, Riley Nelson in 2010, he had captured the heart of the team. Jake Heaps had done a lot of great things, but I think Riley really was the leader of the football team, and I have a lot of love and respect for both of those guys. And when we got into the early parts of those season when we're struggling, you could feel the vibe on the sideline that the players were anxious to see Riley come in, and they wanted him to be on the field. And it wasn't that they didn't like Jake or they didn't have confidence that Jake could help them. They just needed some grit, and they needed to feel like they had a real fighting chance in it. And I could feel it as a coach. I was up in the press box during that game when we finally made a decision to put Riley in, and it was the right decision at the time. And these coaches are going to have to make hard decisions. I remember when Bronco and I were having that conversation about making the change, I remember Bronco saying to me, "Brandon, do you realize the significance of that decision if we put Riley in the game right now?" And I said, "Coach Mendenhall, I do recognize the situation." And then I said to him, "Do you want to win the game? We're playing Utah State right now, and do you want to win?" And he said, "I want to win." And I said, "You're going to need to put Riley in the game." And I think that you have to trust your gut and make some of those types of decisions. And look, a year later or whatever, a year and a half later, I was getting fired. So you don't make decisions based on yourself or your own professional, accolades. You got to make the decisions best for the team in the moment. And the signal caller is a critical, critical guy.
What other storylines coming into camp will you be looking at to help whoever that signal caller is?
How well developed is the offensive line? I mean, everything starts with with the upfront guys, that front seven, both offense and defense. And BYU has been behind the eight ball for a handful of years up front in the trenches. They've had a couple moments where their offensive line have been, you know, very, very sturdy and good. But last year we struggled on both sides of the ball. So BYU needs to continue to develop an upfront strategy, both from recruiting and players, and then development of these guys. And if they can play well, that'll really help this team. And then they need to establish a run attack. You know, they've been really good in years past where they've had a solid run attack. We did not have it last year. And they need to be able to establish a 50% game plan where they can get the ball on the ground and establish some run game.
Brandon Doman is on BYU Sports Nation, former NFL and BYU quarterback. Okay, we were just discussing what gives us the most confidence about the current state of BYU football as the Cougars head into training camp. So, Brandon, with the national pundits saying over under 4.5 wins, like BYU be lucky to win 5 in some publications. They're picked 13th. What gives you the most confidence that BYU can exceed those expectations with the roster as it is currently constituted?
Well, half of their games are going to be at home. And BYU is a phenomenal place. The fans are unusual. The players on the team are unusual young men. I really believe they're going to be coached well. Every single home game, the BYU's got a chance to win. And then going on the road, they just need to sneak a couple of them out. I really believe that if they can stay healthy, have the ball bounce their way a couple times, they can certainly win more games than that. And then it's going to be up to this quarterback. How well is this quarterback going to play? And, you know, I don't know which one of those guys is going to be the guy, but hopefully one of them can rise to the occasion here early on in the season and generate some momentum. No one knew whether or not I was going to truly be able to be a starter during the beginning of the season and play. And we started off really fast, and we caught a wave of momentum when there was a lot of uncertainty around our year, you know, 25 years ago. And they can catch a wave of momentum early on and generate some enthusiasm if that quarterback can play good and they just find that little continuity that they need. And you never know. You just don't ever know until you get out there and start playing.
Well, what do you expect to see August 31st against Southern Illinois at Lavelle Edwards Stadium after a 5-7 season with all the additions that have come in as far as on the staff, and this quarterback battle will have probably been decided or determined by then? What do you expect to see when you come to the game that night?
I expect to see Bohannon playing quarterback. That's a one-year transfer in last year from Baylor, a P4 quarterback with some experience. I think he's got some leadership from the people I've talked to, both that coached him at Baylor and even some people in the locker room at BYU. I think this is the guy. So I think that's what you're going to see coming in the first game. And I hope that this guy has developed better as a quarterback in the last 6 months. I think the system and the environment can help him be successful. I do think there's some weapons at receiver, and I really do think they can throw it around. So if he allows them to establish a bit of a run game and then he can be, distribute the football around, I trust that the defense is going to do what they need to do. And we're going to have a chat. We're going to have a real shot at it. But that's what I expect to see coming into the season.
Brandon Doman on BYU Sports Nation. A quick hitter to finish, Brandon. You've survived the bibs. You've survived quarterback battles. And now I believe you're still trying to survive high school football. What are you doing lately? And what's the coaching, experience like these days?
Oh, man. Last night I was out with the 13-year-old boys, the upcoming eighth graders. I have a son, Mikey, that plays receiver and defensive back. And I was out there helping his Little League football team at practice. And it was a blast. I love football. This time of year is so unique. You can smell it in the air and the jerseys and the sweat and the freshly cut grass and everything about it. My blood boils differently this time of year, and I really enjoy it. Outside of that, just enjoying life. I feel really blessed. I just am so grateful for where just my family and the state of life that we're in. It's a great time.
Awesome. Great stuff. We appreciate the update. Good luck to Mikey as he does his thing.
Find a Luke Staley for your backfield.
Yeah.
And you got some good shape.
Brandon, exactly. We appreciate the time, brother. Thanks so much.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks,
take care.
Coach.
You got it. The classy Brandon Doman.
Isn't it interesting that in these quarterback battles, he's third on the list, and he's the one that's going to go to the NFL and get drafted by the 49ers. Like he said, you just never know. Until you get out there.
And see who can handle it. The pressure, the lights, the speed of the game. Here's the thing, though. We have seen both of the primary quarterbacks of BYU in those scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, they both made significant starts. Who's going to do it better for the Cougars in 2024?
He thinks we're going to see Bo Hannon.
It's Bo Hannon. Okay.
That'll be something. Fall sports begins Saturday. Speaking of a new team getting out under the lights and experiencing a lot of stuff, BYU women's soccer rebuilt from last season's spectacular College Cup performance. It's the blue-white scrimmage. Live coverage at Southfield, 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app. And on Big 12 now on ESPN Plus. They graduated 11 from last year, so this is a new group. We'll get our first look at them Saturday night.
After the break, we have your daily Cougars in the Olympics update, including one Cougar that we believe may medal today, and it's the beginning of Jimmermania as he opens his 3x3 run. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media with content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's roll out your headlines. Actually,
are we doing trivia?
We need to do trivia, don't we?
It felt like we had a question coming.
False start on Spencer.
5-yard penalty.
5-yard penalty.
First and 15.
We're going to go back and do daily trivia.
Look, you got your
TJ Woods is
on.
Super upset right now.
It's a throwing.
Pay attention,
it's
Spencer.
It's a throwing down now.
We're celebrating 100 seasons of BYU football. Before we get to the headlines, yes, we need to do the trivia question, okay? And Colton Potter, he's throwing the flag behind the scenes right now. Colton, what do you have for us as I look to make up for my early penalty here?
That's all right. It's still first down, so we got some time to pick up the first. Today's question, Jake Oldroyd has scored the most points in BYU football history with 338. Which non-kicker has scored the most points in program history? Non-kicker.
Ooh. Man, Luke Staley scored a lot of touchdowns, yeah. Dave.
Yes, he did. So did Jamal, it feels like.
Did Jamal Williams score more touchdowns than Luke Staley did? I mean, Luke had such a phenomenal career scoring.
I think it's Luke.
That my first thought is Luke Staley as a non-kicker. Did anybody else score more points than the great running back who Brandon mentioned was at the gala? And it was great
Walker Award winner. He was the best. I think we got to go Staley on that.
Okay.
Going with Staley?
Luke Staley.
Luke Staley.
And
final answer.
You are correct. It is Luke Staley. 290 points. Second behind him is Harvey Unga.
Oh, Harvey Unga. Yeah.
Okay.
Man,
all right.
Harvey got into the end.
Good. Nice job.
For sure. Let's go.
That was a good bounce.
Teamwork.
Back. First down. We got 15 yards.
Now, deep out. We got the first down.
Let's jump to headlines. Jimmermania officially makes its debut in Paris. Fredette and Team USA face Serbia at 3x3 basketball, 2:35 p.m. on NBC. Pool round, that's a mountain time. Jimmer leads the number one ranked team in the world against the number two. This is pool play. This is not win or go home day. They just have the two best teams matching up
wild.
On the first day
that's
in pool
wild.
Play. But it's going to give you an idea of things to come.
More Olympics. Stephanie Rivetti and Team USA. How about this? They advanced the semifinals of the Rugby Sevens tournament before losing this morning to New Zealand 24-12. Rivetti earned the start, so Rivetti and Team USA will return to action at the top of the hour in the bronze medal match. Their opponent is to be determined. Rivetti will look to become the first Cougar to medal in the Olympics since Guard Young did it all the way back in the 2004 games in Athens. And there is BYU's current gymnastics coach, Guard in Athens, with a silver medal around his neck. Fun story. Guard had his silver medal just like hanging around in his desk in his coach's office. And Jeremy and I went in there one day, and he's like, do you guys want to like wear it around for a little bit? Like, take it? It's not in like a case or anything. So Jeremy's just wearing this silver medal around. People are like, wait, that's legitimately Guard Young silver medal?
And what is it doing on you?
why are you wearing it?
Yeah, how did Jeremy get that? Rugby Sevens has never medaled for the U.S. They can do that in the bronze medal game.
Let's go.
Today is the start of fall camp for BYU football. We've been counting it down since the end of the season. Report day for players and coaches, and make sure you tune in each day here on BYU Sports Nation for camp updates and interviews. BYU defensive end Tyler Batty named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. That released earlier today. The award goes to the nation's best defensive player. I'll tell you, I've been over there this morning. There's buzz. It's go time for football.
Congratulations to L.A. Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua, who is named as the 33rd best player in the entire National Football League by his peers. This is voted on by the players in this year's latest, greatest NFL Top 100 Players list. Nacua is the only BYU player named to the list thus far, with the top 30 still to be announced. We expect Fred Warner, certainly, to show up somewhere in that top 30 as well. But how about that? Having two BYU guys in the NFL's top 100.
Where are you going to take Puka in the fantasy football draft?
Late second round.
With that cups back, so it's going to be interesting to see how it's distributed. Women's cross country and track and field announcing their 2024 signing class yesterday. 9 cross country distance runners, 6 sprinters and hurdlers, 2 in jumps, 1 in the pole vault, and 5 in the throws. And after the Olympics, everyone's going to come do the steeplechase. They're just going to come in droves.
All right.
And before we go to the whip, we're going to take a moment to honor the late Ken Schmidt, who passed away yesterday, longtime defensive coordinator at BYU. 1982 is when he got here, was here for 21 years with Lavelle Edwards and his group, 12 seasons as the D coordinator. And we send our thoughts and prayers to his wife, Yvonne, 5 kids, 18 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. So those are the rosters that matter, but he won a whole bunch of football games with that group. The biggest of games and beloved by many.
Saturday, we broadcasted, as mentioned, the 100 Seasons of BYU Football Gala. During the event, former BYU and NFL Super Bowl champion linebacker Kurt Gavea, who played for Coach Schmidt, talked specifically about Ken, and here is a portion of those comments.
Good thing I had a great coach, Coach Smith, Ken Smith, and I'm thinking of Coach Smith, I'm sorry. But he was such an awesome coach that taught me the position to play linebacker. And he was yelling at me, he was so hard on me about doing the right thing all the time. You know, it sort of paid off, you know, and I thank him from the bottom of my heart that he's the man that started of my thought process, we're gonna be great. Not good, great.
Wow. How about that tribute from a great linebacker in Kurt Gavea, speaking of Ken Schmidt?
Yeah, and Gavea became great because of his talent and how he was coached. And I still remember he laid out somebody on the Hawaii's football team across the middle. Might be one of the biggest hits in BYU
We
history.
Talked about that very hit in the show.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's on demand. You should go and watch it. It was a really fun 2 hours.
It's sad to see these legends pass away from the coaching staff. We're in that time of life where if they haven't passed, they're knocking on the door. And what a reunion on the other side for that group. Maybe they huddled up and welcomed each other back together. But the great Ken Schmidt, and BYU so fortunate to have had him come here.
And once again, we send our collective love from BYU Sports Nation to the entire Schmidt family. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Dave, start us off.
Okay, so the NFL announced new kickoff rules for the upcoming season. And this has to do with onside kicks.
It's crazy.
Onside kicks are illegal before the fourth quarter.
What?
Teams must be losing to attempt one.
What?
And they must announce their intention to kick an onside kick ahead of the time. So
much for the element of surprise.
Yeah, they decided we don't need any, it's the no fun league, I guess, when it comes to onside. We don't need any surprises. On a scale of the bib uniforms to a 100-yard pick six against Oklahoma, how much do you not like this?
Yeah, this is leaning towards the 100-yard pick six that BYU suffered against Oklahoma. I hate this. Yeah. I do not like this. You want to talk about impacting a game? Think about the 2009 Super Bowl. The New Orleans Saints do not beat the Indianapolis Colts. if Thomas Morstead cannot, with the element of surprise under the direction of Sean Payton, come out of halftime and start that onside kick. That onside kick haunts Austin Colley and Peyton Manning right. to this day.
And there's a bunch of new kickoff rules. This is the onside kick, and the new rules kind of make it seem like, well, you'd have to know if you're going to do an onside kick because your team can't even move until the ball hits the field.
Well, Mr. Official, just letting you know, we're going to attempt an onside kick.
But
like, what?
It's going to be, they saw the XFL and how they do kickoffs, and they want to do that. We'll see how it works.
All right. I showed up ready to rock because it's Jimmer Day, Dave. So what are your expectations for Jimmer today in his first Olympic game?
He said he was going to be more nervous for this game than any game he's ever played in his life until he hits his first three, probably. We expect over the course of this run that U.S. is going to medal, and the gold is very much within reach. Whether that day beats Serbia today doesn't matter. It's pool play, so you're going to get a handful of games. But when it's all said and done, this team went over there to get a gold medal for the first time in 3x3 basketball. We've never even had it in the Olympics before, but it's entertaining. The game is short. They're all going to be on national TV, and global mania for Jimmer mania is on the cusp of this afternoon.
Yeah, what do I expect? I expect Jimmer to do one thing, if not multiple things, that make everybody watching around the world go, whoa, Jimmer's back. I can't wait for everybody to post about it. All the national writers, they're all watching Jimmer Fredette today.
Yeah.
For good reason. Can't
wait.
It's
about time, right?
Let's go.
The NBA didn't quite work for Jimmer. He's in front of the world today. Let's go.
Beat Serbia. What a way to start. Number one and number two in the world, head-to-head to open up pool play.
Fun.
Up next, an inside look into the BYU football locker room on report day with the director of equipment operations, Josh Hewitt, giving Dave McCann the tour. Did he give you a pair of shoes, too?
No, he didn't.
What the heck?
I'm going back as soon as this show's
over. Come on, Josh.
Hey, where's my stuff?
This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Spencer Linton and Dave McCann here. It is reporting day for BYU football. In fact, we wanted to go behind those secure doors to find out what makes the magic happen for the equipment guys lining up BYU and their players with all that new gear. So Dave McCann is with BYU Director of Equipment Operations, Josh Hewitt.
I'm with Josh Hewitt. He's in charge of all the equipment. I'm the new quarterback here at BYU, and I'm brand new, so they told me to come to you.
Welcome. The first thing we're going to do is get your sizes.
You're not going to question the fact that I'm 5'11"?
And, no, you're here for a reason, so we'll get you fitted up.
All right, so what happens today?
So we're going to get your sizes, and then we're going to take you over here to get your foot scanned. We scan all of our guys' feet for the first time they come in just to make sure we have the scan and the correct measurement of their feet. Gives us a lot of different details on it. Right in here is our foot scanner.
So I stand up on this and you...
Yeah, the first thing we would do is have you sit down and put on the socks, one on each leg, different colors. And then this thing will actually go around and give us a 3D image of your foot and all these different measurements. So it gives us a foot size, foot length, width, all these different measurements that we can use in order to fit. And if we're looking at a specific thing, we can identify it through this.
Now, you're not a foot doctor, but you kind of are.
Kind of. Feet are the most important thing for the player. Everyone thinks the helmet, but if you can't run, you can't play. So we like to take care of the feet first.
Feet first. All right, so now where are we going?
So now we're going to go to the shoe room. We have all different styles of cleats, widths, sizes, colors, everything.
Whoa.
That you could imagine.
How many we got in here?
Well, this side is all of our skill combo. We have combo big guys on this side. So we got quite a few different cleats, size 16s.
Are these the biggest?
No, we have some 18s up there.
But this is the biggest foot on the team. Is this
correctly,
Caleb?
Yep.
There it
is.
Look at that.
Three guys in a size 16.
Well, that's a good indicator that we got some big linemen.
Yes. We got two on the O-line, one on the D-line. So we get this good size.
What about the myth that a player can get as many shoes as he wants?
We can have guys, just depends on position and player, that go through, you know, a cleat, or just depends on the week what we're going to be in. Surface-wise, they could be in a detached to a speed, just kind of depends on where we're at.
You can't really open up a business on eBay.
No.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work. All right, so
we come back here to the helmet room. which is our pad room too. Helmets, shoulder pads, and get you fitted up with what face mask, what helmet, shoulder pads, all the way through to make sure that you're protected in the way that you need to be.
All right, I see Navy, I see Royal, I see White. This is the configuration?
Yeah, so this is where the guys right now are currently pulling game helmets for our current guys and putting them in our helmet trunks that we use to travel. So that way when we do wear them during fall camp, that they're already ready to go.
Funny, it's just a shell until you stick a Y on it.
Definitely.
Then it becomes something else.
Yep. It thumbs the helmet.
All right, what's next?
So then after that work, we've got you all fitted. We'll get you the gear and get you out to your locker.
One thing that we've learned over the years, more so every year it seems, is guys like stuff.
Yeah.
And so you're going to suit them up with a whole bunch of new stuff.
So here we got the stuff that they're going to get day one. We got some new shorts with the little Sailor Kook on it, gray. They're traditional practice shorts, black shorts.
Okay.
New short sleeve gray. Long sleeve navy.
Right. Those are always popular.
And then one of my favorite ones so far is the new hoodie.
This is the new hoodie. You only get one of these if you're on the team.
Yes. I don't think they're selling it on the retail side, which is always good for our guys.
And you guys came up with the whole design.
Yeah, so it was just a new design we had and thought it'd look good for the guys, something a little different.
You get flip-flops and walk-around shoes?
Yeah, so we got some shower shoes and some lifting Metcons. They get a new pair of lifting Metcons.
Josh, how has the business of just getting ready to go on the field changed over the last few years?
I would say it's gotten a little easier in ways because we have the guys around all the time, working out all summer long, as compared to back in the day where they'd go home for the summer, come back, and guys
be a little heavier.
Definitely. So now we have a pretty good idea of the guys. We see them every day. We're able to fit them throughout the summer and have the stuff that we need. So when they report, it's pretty smooth.
Not counting me, how many real players will you have coming through these doors today?
So we have 120 reporting to camp today. So we got a big group.
Christmas Day, kind of?
Kind of. We try to spread it out over the whole month, though. So we try to do a little bit here, a little bit there, and keep the spirits up throughout camp.
All right, good luck.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for letting us in. We are inside. No one gets to come in here except for us today. Thanks, Josh.
Outstanding stuff. Dave McCann with Josh Hewitt. Hey, BYU football enters the Bermuda Triangle of a quarterback battle, if you will. And today's Top 5 Tuesday features the best quarterback battles in Cougar football history. What would you put at number one? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time for Top 5 Tuesday, the top 5 quarterback battles in BYU history because, you know, there's a quarterback battle brewing as we move into training camp. Dave, start us off at number 5.
Let's go to 2000. We had one of them on the show earlier with Brandon Doman. But in 2000, you had Brett Engeman, Charlie Peterson, and Doman. Final season for Lavelle. There's a lot riding on it. Engeman won the job initially. They went through all three. Doman finally got it at the end. Beats New Mexico in the last home game for Lavelle. Beats Utah in Lavelle's last game. And then he went 12-2 the following year.
Yeah, no pressure. You're 4-6, and you need to win the last two to get Lavelle going off, riding off into the sunset. Jaron Hall and Baylor Romney in 2021. This is off of a spectacular COVID season from Zach Wilson. Jaron won the job, led BYU to a 10-3 record and final AP ranking of number 19. BYU got up to Schneid against Utah that year as well. Baylor did win two games as a starter that season against USF and Utah State.
2010, Jake Heaps, Riley Nelson, we talked about that a little bit, coming off 3 years of Max Hall and Hall the winningest quarterback in school history. Heaps got it initially. Riley finished with it, and of course that big win against Utah State was a difference maker.
Won it back in 2011. Number 2, Taysom Hill and Tanner Mangum in 2016. Wild that this was a battle, but it was. It was.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill ultimately winning the job. He led BYU to a 9-4 mark that season, his final season as a starter.
Number 1, Mark Wilson, Jim McMahon. They split time in 78. They battled in 79. Lavelle goes with Wilson, redshirts McMahon. He goes, I got two first-round quarterbacks. They can't play at the same time. Wilson got the job. He went in the first round. Then McMahon got his job. He went in the first round.
It worked out.
It worked out.
It was weird.
They work out.
It was weird, but it worked out. All right. What gives you the most confidence about BYU football going into fall camp? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from @itsrise_Cooper on X, says new offensive line coaching, hoping they were able to look back and build off of last season's issues. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who should get it, Dave?
Rivetti and Jimmer. Let's give it to both of them. Big days ahead in Paris.
The Olympians. We might have a Cougar medal today in Rivetti.
It'd be awesome.
Win the bronze medal match. Hey, our thanks to today's guests, Brandon Doman and Josh Hewitt.
We're all over social media. Enjoy our stuff.
For Dave, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Frank Fredericks. Go Cougs.